Father, thank you for the blessing of fellowship and for what that means as we've been studying here now for these 6 weeks. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to miss what you have put in your word regarding the topic of fellowship, true, biblical, genuine fellowship. I pray that in these next moments that you would help me to speak words that are accurate representations of what you have already said in your word. Thank you for your servant, Jerry Bridges, who has put much work into the study of this topic that we can benefit from. Pray that you would help us to be submissive to your word, doers, not hearers only of your word. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We are in lesson 6 now of The Crisis of Caring, our study here on fellowship, really the Greek word koinonia, which is going to be a little bit more fleshed out today as far as the full understanding of what that word means. This study seems to be going by very quickly. I was talking with Brother Wayne before Sunday school, and we are at the halfway point with this study this week. There are 12 chapters that we'll be looking at, one each week, and then probably a 13th week of review. But let's just go ahead and jump in here. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippian believers these words here: I thank my God because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And our study of the word fellowship, you may be looking at the verse that I've just read and say, I don't see it. But the word partnership there is also the Greek word koinonia, which is often translated fellowship in our English Bibles. This shows us something about biblical fellowship, and that is that biblical fellowship, biblical koinonia, although it does involve the person-to-person fellowship of building one another up, it also involves partnering together specifically for the spread of the gospel. And there are two primary ways, as we would walk through the book of Philippians, that partnership in the gospel takes place. The first of those is partnership in giving. You say, oh great, here we are in church, we're talking about money again. Well, we are because the Word of God does, and Paul does in this passage. And so we need to understand what is here regarding fellowship as it pertains to participating in the spread of the gospel through financial means. The verse that we just looked at, Paul says that the Philippians were partners with him for the sake of the gospel. And a question for us this morning: how could Paul say that the Philippians were partners with him when they had never even left Philippi to be with him? Pardon the typo there on the slide. But how could Paul say something like that? How could they be partners together if they're not even in the same area? And a significant part of the answer is found in Philippians 4, verse 15, where Paul says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. And so Paul equates giving for the sake of the gospel with partnering, fellowshipping, if I could say it this way, koinonia-ing for the sake of the gospel. The Philippians recognized that they had a missionary responsibility to those cities beyond them. By the way, I'll just hit a pause on this real quickly. Much of what we are looking at today in terms of partnering, fellowshipping for the sake of the gospel has to do with that aspect as it takes place beyond our own city limits. But a question for us this morning: how are we doing across the street in terms of partnering for the sake of the gospel? It's not our main topic, but it needs to be mentioned as we consider this topic this morning. So they recognized that they had a responsibility to reach those cities. Paul didn't just thank them, Paul did not just thank God for their partnership, but he assured them that there would be a return on their investment. We need to talk about what that return looks like, because there are many individuals often seeking to manipulate the people of God who would say something to the effect of, if you give God $1, he's going to give you $3 or $5 or $10. And it's very manipulative, and I would say that you do not see math equations presented like that in Scripture. what is the return on investment that Paul is talking about in verse 17? It is the eternal return on that investment of souls being reached. Specifically, what Paul is saying is that by partnering with him in the gospel, the Philippians could also celebrate and participate in the fruit that Paul's ministry would bring forth. Every believer today has that same privilege and responsibility. And we need to note that it is presented in these terms as a responsibility, not merely a privilege, but also a responsibility. In the book, Jerry Bridges makes a point that when we would give to missions or some sort of extra project or a love offering for a speaker that would be passing through, we're tempted to give ourselves a pat on the back and go, oh, what a generous person you are. Way to go. And if that is our motive, then the book of Matthew and Christ himself tells us that we already have our reward for that good deed. Rather, it is giving for the sake of the advance of the gospel with eternal reward, treasures being laid up in heaven that ought to be the motivation here. Each of us has the opportunity to participate in ministries far beyond the scope of our own personal endeavors. Or to say it another way, you may not be able to personally go to the Democratic Republic of Congo or to Mexico, but through your support of missions there, you partner, you fellowship, you koinonia with those who are preaching the gospel to those areas. That's the first aspect of what we're looking at this morning in this partnership of the gospel. The second is partnership in prayer. Paul was dependent on the prayers of the Philippians. Philippians 1:19, we considered this a couple months ago on Sunday night. Says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. And what is the this? This is Paul's current circumstance. In a Roman jail, chained to a Roman guard, waiting trial before the Roman emperor, he says, I know that this situation will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so another way in which we enter into partnership in the gospel is through regular, meaningful prayer for missionaries. And I want to say that again and slow down a bit. Through regular, meaningful prayer for our missionaries. When we pray for those who are taking the gospel around the world, or even around our own nation, if our prayers stop at, Lord, would you please bless them? And that is the level of specificity with which we're able to pray, I don't know that we have done our due diligence in understanding exactly how we should be praying for those individuals. And we'll look at that a little bit more. But it needs to be meaningful and it ought to be regular. If we are, for instance, if you are in a business partnership of sorts, and the two business partners only have communication with each other or discuss the financial needs of whatever the business is once every 6 months, or once every 6 weeks, there's probably not a very good working partnership there. And the same is true when we are not regular in our prayers for the advance of the gospel. As a matter of fact, on 7 different occasions in the book of Philippians, Paul either thanked the Philippians for their prayers or asked them to pray for him or his ministry. I'd like to make this observation. Paul could go on without their monetary gifts, if necessary. You say, where do you get that? Look at verse 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is a phrase that, frankly, has been taken quite out of context on many occasions. Paul, in the context, says, I know how to be humbled, how to be abased. I can go through whatever circumstance the Lord ordains for my life, even monetary, financial, physical difficulty through Christ who strengthens me. I can go on serving Christ even if that difficulty is there. But as we saw in verse 19, Paul connects the deliverance, the giving of God's grace to the prayers of God's people. And what I'm trying to point out here is this. If we were to weigh the importance of monetary partnership with the gospel in the gospel and prayer partnership in the gospel, the shoulder strength of that partnership ought to be focusing on prayer support for the sake of the advance of the gospel. Now, that doesn't happen to the exclusion of monetary support. We've already looked at that in the first portion of this. But I'm pointing this out simply to say that we need to realize the importance of prayer where the spread of the gospel is concerned. God has ordained, and we have looked at it many different passages in Scripture, God has ordained to bring about His purpose in this world through the prayers of His people. And it is the same as we look at the spread of the gospel here. And so, if we are to be partners in the gospel, we need to commit ourselves to pray for missions in a consistent, meaningful way. That's the second time that word meaningful has come up. So how exactly should we be praying for the spread of the gospel? How should we be praying for missions, for missionaries, as we partner with them for the sake of the gospel? Well, first of all, pray for their personal needs. If you were to do a brief survey through the epistles which God used Paul to write, you would find really about an equal distribution between requests for himself, his own spiritual life, his own physical needs, about an equal spread between that and ministerial needs, praying for open doors to spread the gospel, opportunities to spread the gospel. So praying for personal needs, loneliness. Our missionaries are often quite secluded and do not have opportunity for face-to-face fellowship with other believers. And they need God's grace to face circumstances like that. So that is one good way to pray. Cultural adjustment. And those that have been on the field for a while, of course, some of that learning curve has been addressed, but for others, perhaps it's a bit sharper that are still working through their protection from harm. Very recently and still ongoing, our missionaries in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, the Wards, as well as the Grings, are very much so in a volatile situation where there is much violence in the country. We've been aware of this, we've been made aware of this on multiple occasions, but do we pray? Do we pray consistently for that physical need, but also praying for spiritual protection? When we do not have opportunity for face-to-face fellowship with other believers on a regular basis, then we are in more of a vulnerable position. And so we need to be bringing these folks before the Lord regarding those situations. Healthcare, another suggestion there as well. But we ought not only be praying, as I said, for their personal needs, but also for the ministry needs that exist. Boldness to share the gospel, wisdom for the best way to share the gospel. Open doors of opportunity. And the list could go on here, but the thing is, both these lists, the list of personal needs, the list of ministry needs that we've looked at here, although they may be slightly specific, even these don't necessarily meet very, very specific needs in our missionaries' lives. We have a resource that you can make use of. On our website, updated prayer requests, as well as current information regarding our missionaries and the things that they have asked, we pray for. If we're going to be praying for them in meaningful ways, we got to be making use of that resource. Not during Sunday school, but during other services, the TV out in the foyer is often rotating through those same prayer requests. And so these are tools that we can be using to inform ourselves so that we can be praying for specific needs. Regarding this entire topic, this quote was, I think, quite useful here. It says, "The greatest thing each one of us can do," and that is can do specifically in the area of missions, "the greatest thing each one of us can do is to pray. If we can go personally to some distant land, still, we have gone to only one place." Prayer puts us into direct, dynamic touch with a world A man may go aside today and shut the door, and as really spend a half hour of his life in India for God, as though he were there in person. Surely you and I must get more half hours for this secret service. And whether our prayer times are spent in half-hour blocks or spent in few-minute blocks throughout the day, I believe it was said of Charles Spurgeon that he was never longer than 10 minutes in prayer, but he was never longer than 10 minutes between prayer. That's something for us to pick up on as well. Are we not told to pray without ceasing? So these various things to consider as we partner for the sake of the gospel, both in giving and in prayer. One of the things that you'll see in our discussion group, and I just want to point this out to you so that perhaps you can, those of you that have a smartphone or those of you that perhaps can try and glance at some of the prayer cards or something on your way to the various discussion groups, one of the things that I'd like us to spend some time doing is putting into practice what we have looked at today. And so if you'll notice there on the questions for thought and discussion, the last item there is to spend some time discussing ways to pray for the missionaries of Grace Baptist Church, and then to take a few minutes to pray thoughtfully about personal needs and ministry needs. I want to make you aware of that now so that you can be churning these things over in your head. We're done a bit ahead of time here, and that is somewhat by design because we want to have some time to practice what we have just looked at here regarding praying for the missionaries of Grace Baptist Church.